Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for June, second week of June, probably the 12th, pretty sure, because that's what it says here on my calendar.
Then that's what it is.
So, that's great. We're midway through June already. And we're joined by the dog, who's angry about the wind blowing outside.
It's bringing in all sorts of
scents and glorious things.
Posey.
Fortunately, the woodpecker hasn't joined us this morning, so that's really great. We had a couple of things we thought we could talk about today. The first being the Anglican Communion, because we know that that's everybody's favorite topic. And we thought maybe we might have a few things to say about Bernie Sanders. Nice things, of course, because he's a nice man who loves all people.
Right.
And maybe I could say some more things about the office, because I know that that also
I'm
is
so
on
glad.
The top.
You're finished with it now, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, all 9 seasons.
Oh my gosh. I'm
it
so
really
happy you're done.
It really took persistence to get through 9
seasons.
Well,
you also divided our family every night.
Not every night.
You did. You
we would
and,
not
you
watch
and,
it every night.
Would
we watched it.
Close yourselves off and watch this, I think, morally questionable show. In which you were corrupting
what do you mean
our daughter
morally?
By letting her watch it. Well, there was all kinds of sexual references, and there was
yeah,
like,
but
it was
all TV has that. There's nothing that you can watch that doesn't have references. The question
yes,
is
by,
how
which is why
oblique.
We haven't watched TV and why we only get cable in certain times of the year to watch certain things. And
like the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well,
so you actually went on Netflix.
Yeah.
To watch The Office with our daughter.
Yeah. She's a teenager.
She's 15.
Yeah, almost 15.
So you shouldn't watch things where sexual references will not be understood by smaller children, but you should when the daughter becomes 15 and is becoming aware of things like this.
A lot of them went
them,
over
right?
her head. Some of them went over her head. Okay, so one reason why, I guess we're starting with The Office then.
I guess
we're
so.
Going to have this be our first thing. The reason that I liked, you're right, it did have questionable material, but it was all portrayed in a pretty dismal light. Like, the sex part of it was awkward and horrible. It did not cast human sexual expression in a good light, essentially.
But it also made it really funny. Like,
funny,
look, these two people are cheating on their wives.
But
look, this person, these people are sneaking off into a corner and at the office and having sex. Ha, that's funny.
Awkward and horrible, yes, too. So, well, if you have a strong moral base, you know that that's wrong. So, I felt like it was fine. I really felt like it was fine.
You felt like it was fine. Well, that's good. As long as you felt like it was
so
fine.
The other thing that I really
didn't. I walked
about
in several times, was embarrassed, and I couldn't watch the show.
No, but we can't. Yeah, of course you're embarrassed. Okay, I have to be allowed to watch some things with my daughter, and you have to trust my judgment.
Would you like me to pick those things for you?
No, I don't. The other thing that I did like about it.
Picks the shows that you watch?
No. The patriarchy doesn't need to interfere in this question. The thing that I did like when, so of course after 9 seasons, Jim and Pam are finally, they get married, they have 2 children, and then their marriage goes on the rocks. And it really did seem for many, many episodes that they would split up, that they would not be able to work it out. And I was really impressed with the way that they had them stay together in marriage. It was quite traditional. They went to counseling. They had to learn how to talk to each other in an awkward and funny way, and then they had to sacrifice each for the other, and it was really nice.
Well, I'm glad the storyline ended in a way that that couple remained married and faithful to each other, but. But again,
yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was great. 9 seasons. It was like climbing K2.
Yeah.
Because you made me watch that documentary of the people who go up the mountain to die for hours.
They didn't all die.
Yeah, some of them died. They just, one of them just slid off the mountain and to the abyss.
And there wasn't anything you could do.
Nope,
and the guy said, like, when you're climbing a mountain that high, you just kind of have to pass by dead people because, in the same way you pass by...
On the other side of the road?
Right, when a car accident.
Oh,
a car. You can't stop.
Right.
Or else you die.
You die. Speaking of The Office, and apropos of not that at all, but those Werner Herzog documentaries are pretty awesome. Especially if you're following Werner Herzog on Twitter. That is so fantastic. I don't understand what the volcano documentary was about.
We watched a volcano documentary, and it had like the actual coverage of actual volcano science.
Maybe 1%.
It was 1%. The rest of it was him like talking to tribal leaders.
Yeah, well, and like long shots across the mountain.
While he just kind of talks into the camera.
Look at these his feelings.
Mountains. They remind me of whatever.
My childhood.
right.
So cool.
It was really a documentary about Werner Herzog and what his thoughts about volcanoes might be. Sometimes.
Well, but yeah, volcanoes just really didn't come into it.
Right, but it was beautifully shot.
And we made the children watch the whole thing, which was wonderful. But everybody should follow Werner Herzog on Twitter. He wins Twitter every day. He's one of the only people that I ever retweet. A few people I retweet, but I like to like and retweet Werner Herzog. Herzog. That's a good reason to be on Twitter at all. All right, well, so The Office, K2, Werner Herzog. What would you like to talk about?
Well, there are Anglican things heating up, and so we should probably mention that. But we should also, I'm not sure if a broader, if that should be last, because the broader interest of our listener would probably be about dealing with...
Bernie Sanders?
I don't know.
I mean, what is there to say about Bernie Sanders?
Well, it's inevitable, because this I think one of the great, if you didn't, should we say what happened?
Why don't you like to do that. You always like to provide background and context, which I feel like is a worthless activity. Yeah, it's like a fidget spinner. Your context, but you provide us some context. What did he say that was so bad?
Well, he was questioning one of Trump's appointees for... I forget which office it is, but this appointee happens to be a alumni of Wheaton College, and he had written some articles about the whole controversy about the professor on Wheaton's in the school
a while ago.
Yeah, who began wearing hijab, and
she was persecuted for I wrote about it at the time.
Yeah, I think she's a Christian, but she was trying to say that the two religions worship the same God, and
he was Vox, showing solidarity with the Muslim community by wearing a hijab.
Right, and which was and this person rightly responded and said this is not acceptable in a Christian college, because part of this was not just her wearing a hijab, it was also. It came with the claim that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, and that is false. The Muslim conception of God is not the same, and any religion that rejects the sonship of Jesus Christ and his sole mediatorial role between human beings and God also rejects or does not have the Father. You cannot have a relationship with the Father apart from the Son. So that means if you reject the Son, you don't worship God. You worship something else. You worship a deity of your own imagination. You worship a false God. And the same thing would go for Jews who don't worship Christ. That they have when God revealed Himself to be a triune, and they rejected that revelation, they then rejected Yahweh, and now they worship something else. So that's a perfectly clear, fine biblical argument to make, and millions of Orthodox Christians have believed that kind of thing before. And he just wrote that you can't, Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. So Bernie Sanders finds this old article, and he brings it up in the hearing, and
as a gotcha,
right? So are you saying that you really believe that Muslims who don't believe in Jesus are going to hell? And yeah, basic Christianity. And from Sanders' perspective, that you can't serve in the United States in
government
if you believe that, which means Christians are ineligible to serve. Orthodox Christians are ineligible.
According to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
This isn't the official line of American, the Congress and White House. Mm-hmm. This is just Bernie Sanders, right, who's just saying this.
Yeah.
But it's problematic because, oh my word, why doesn't he read up on religion? Why doesn't he try to educate himself a tiny bit about how religion works, since Islam is makes exclusive claims, right, about who's in and who's, right, out, and so does Judaism, and many religions make exclusive claims about who
goes to hell. And Muslims would make exclusive. Their exclusive claim is that Jesus is not the Son of God, and that those who think he is are committing a damnable heresy. And that's fine. I don't care if a Muslim who believes that is willing to treat all human beings with equal, as if they were equals in his work.
In the government,
I don't care if he thinks I'm going to hell.
Yeah. Well, it's so offensive. You can't even acknowledge the reality of hell. That's what's interesting. I mean, so we do have a state religion now, and that's that we can't have a state religion where we can't have any religion, exclusive religion, unless it's Islam, I guess.
Probably. I don't know that that's true. I think we can't have Christianity. I think that's the religion. I mean,
we can't have Christianity.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying.
So you can be a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu, yeah, or a Jew, whatever.
You could have exclusive claims made about your Islamic faith, and that would be fine. You could even say that you thought people were going to die forever in their sins as a Muslim, and that would be okay with Bernie Sanders. So, well, anyway.
I think it's a larger thing. I mean, because I forgot who wrote this article, but someone wrote an article about 2 or 3 years ago saying the issues that are going to be the bring about the most vitriol from not just leftists, but from mainstream American people as we move forward into this new golden era, are going to be the position that we take on homosexuality and the position we take on the exclusivity of Christ. Those two things are going to so grate at the mentality that most Americans now embrace and possess, that we are going to find it increasingly difficult to hold positions in government, or to even sometimes to maintain jobs. That's what the whole gay cake thing was.
Or
illustrative of that.
Firefox Mozilla.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean that's why you're going to find within evangelicalism, you're going to find people willing to make compromises, like Jen Hatmaker and others, because they don't want to be the target of that ire, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you also find evangelicals saying things like, "Well, I'd personally disagree with the position on sexuality that Jen Hatmaker takes, but we're all believers, and it's okay. And this is just an issue we can disagree about and not divide over."
Jen Hatmaker gets to be on the cover of Time magazine, probably, or an article in Time magazine, probably not on the cover. But I would imagine it's for her bravery, wouldn't you?
She is so brave. I mean,
she has suffered a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, by saying
mean bad Christians.
By saying that we should accept gay marriage and be open-minded and tolerant. I mean, man, everyone hates her now.
I know. It's just, it's a travesty how much hatred she has suffered.
The world looks at her and says, "How dare you? How dare you break with Orthodox Christianity?
How dare you break?
Because we're all Christians.
And a lot of mean Christians have said very mildly, that's not Orthodox. That's not the gospel.
Well, she didn't.
They said it very quietly.
I think Lifeway pulled her stuff, didn't
Well, yeah, that's true. That's, she really did. So kudos to Lifeway. But
I mean, I personally would rather have the love of Lifeway than my face on Time Magazine if I'm looking for fame. Because, you know, everyone knows what Lifeway is.
Yeah, even I know what Lifeway is. I mean, actually, I've never really known what Lifeway is.
Right.
Yes. So, well, I mean, I feel like maybe we should...
She is so brave.
...pray for Bernie Sanders, because he does seem confused, and, like, he could maybe use the love of Jesus in his heart.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's Jewish, I believe, and...
Really?
Well, yeah, not... I don't think he's Orthodox Jewish.
Yeah, what?
But he has Jewish
he's
heritage.
He's a religious person? Right. I doubt that.
Right, so... I mean, I imagine in the religious circles he runs around, it probably is probably a shock that anyone believes that anyone is going to hell.
Right, because they don't know anyone.
Right.
Or if they do, they're so quiet, probably, that they would, you know, they have not been offensive.
Yeah.
Christians have been very good at not giving offense for quite some time.
You can practice at it.
Yeah, so it's hard to find them in ordinary life. You know, where are they? They're there, definitely, but they're creeping around anxiously, trying to be loving and not give offense in any way, especially on Facebook.
Right.
So
right.
I really do think, you know, the time has come when your greatest fear of giving offense, because we've been taught very, very much that giving offense is the worst sin of all the sins, that there's not, you know... lying, idolatry, cheating, gossip, all these things are in no way even a little bit approximate to the great, great sin of giving offense to anyone,
right.
Let alone a non-Christian. And that's kind of backwards. So we probably need to let go of that, because it's letting go of us. they're finding... You know, they're finding you, so
yeah.
You won't even have to go looking for them, the person that you can offend. So it's too bad, but prayers for Bernie Sanders. May he meet a Christian. Well, he met one.
Yeah, he did.
That's so cool.
And he
fantastic.
Wanted to keep him out of the. But it's all, you know, so that but that is. That's either it's. I don't want to be too dramatic about it, but isn't that that's exactly why they crucified Jesus, because he was making exclusive claims about himself, that to be God.
Yeah, although so, I wouldn't
and that was
want to
so
say
and
the
and
guy
the,
is the same
no,
as Jesus.
No, I'm not. That's why I don't want to make that comparison. But but Jesus did say, the way they treated me, they're going to treat you.
Yeah.
And this Vought guy was saying, was doing. Was being a good disciple.
Was doing his job.
And
yeah.
He got treated by the United States government, or at least this particular senator, in the way that the Sanhedrin...
We're all promised. This.
Yeah.
So...
Exactly.
Do you know if he's going to go through then, or is it over
for him? I imagine... No, I think it'll go through. I think... I don't know what the...
Because maybe Trump wasn't listening.
I mean, everyone, even secular people...
We're shocked.
We're kind of surprised. Did you read that article I posted about, I think I forgot.
I mean, of course I did. I read everything you post on
you
Facebook
I
faithfully.
I know you do.
It's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is to read.
I think it's part of your marital duty to read what I put on Facebook. I do. I read what you put on your blog, even when you talk about things like flowers, which I trudge
like?
Through the article.
You don't. Trudge.
No, you're a great writer, so I can read what you write about flowers with delight.
Uh-huh.
But the subject matter is not always something that I'm appreciative of.
You post so much on Facebook. There's no way for me to possibly keep up.
I do not. I post like 3 or 4 things a day.
Yeah, and then there's hundreds of comments. Angry
well, you don't have
comments.
To read the comments.
But sometimes you'll text me and require that I stop everything and read the comments on a particular
Well, that's just when I want you to tell me whether I'm being mean.
Let me just cut down on that time and say, you're being mean. Newsflash.
I need you to govern my...
Matt is being a jerk on Facebook today. Stop the presses.
Anyway, let's talk about something else.
Okay. Yes. So, the Scottish government, no, church.
Yes.
Shockingly.
Sounds like you're really up on this.
You know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, I am ready for this one.
Yeah.
So people in Scotland...
did something bad.
Did something brave, akin to Jen Hap. They summoned all their moral courage, and in the face of all opposition and cultural disapprobation, they took the brave and revolutionary stand
removing the requirements in their canons that marriage between a man and a woman, and they also allowed their ministers the authority to preside over such marriages, and they, of course, provided a conscience clause for those.
Right.
You don't have to do one of these marriages.
You don't have to.
But see, that's such
today. You will tomorrow, or even 30 seconds from now, but right this minute, you won't have to.
The test is going to be when a Scottish minister refuses not just to do a marriage, but refuses to acknowledge the marriages of those who are so bound together, right? So,
or try to baptize
if I were in the Scottish church and a couple, quote unquote, came to me saying, oh, we got married over at Trinity Episcopal and we're here to be transferred into your church. If we were still in the Episcopal church, we'd say, well, you can attend.
You can attend. Please come.
And we will hear the gospel.
Put your arms like this.
But you're not going to get
communion here. You just put your arms across your chest like this when you walk forward.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a blessing and pray for you to repent.
Right. You'll get communion.
No.
Or you won't get communion, but you'll get a sermon.
A good sermon.
About
a really good sermon.
About repentance.
About the Bible.
and the forgiveness of
Hebrews
sins.
We're going through Hebrews right now.
Right. And you'll get to hear that you should break up your marriage, quote unquote, and believe the gospel. So that's what's gonna. I mean, if a Scottish pastor is being faithful in the Scottish Episcopal Church, that's what he will do, and then that's gonna be the test. How will the revisionists respond when someone doesn't accept their marriages as marriages?
I mean, with grace and humility.
Of course. So anyway, and this has been in the works for a long time, but the ACNA, which is not a member of the Anglican Communion. It's not a member of the Anglican Communion.
It's recognized by some portions.
It's recognized by the GAVCON primates and much of the global south, but not by the Archbishop of Canterbury. So we're not an Anglican Communion province. Brilliantly, the GAVCON primates decided that the best way to reach out to those churches in Scotland and other places in Europe that don't want to be part of this, don't want to this move forward, this great, grand, brave new world, to consecrate a bishop through the ACNA so that these churches can break off from the Scottish church or from the English church or from the whatever church makes this move and have oversight through the ACNA. The brilliant thing about this is it's not technically border crossing. Right? But now, you're not Anglican, you don't know what border crossing is, so let me just explain that.
Because it's a fascinating...
Yeah. Right.
Border. It's like, it's, you know...
Every bishop...
It's akin to climbing K2. I'm just kidding. Go
are
ahead.
Are you being sarcastic?
No. I would never be sarcastic about the Anglican Communion.
No, border crossing is a pretty interesting subject.
Okay.
Anyway,
I look forward to you making it interesting.
if you have bishops reign or rule.
They what?
They over a certain.
They reign certain, over a certain
usually geographical area, right? So and.
Actually, you know what would be great is for, if Werner Twartzog would do a documentary about the Anglican Communion.
You should do it
because I would watch it, and I would buy it, and I would watch it again, and I wish he would just.
Yeah.
I long. I mean, is there a way to make, like, does anybody have any connections?
Right.
Because that would make my life really happy. Okay, right. Go on.
So bishops rule over a certain geographical area, and in the sense that they oversee the churches in that area. And since Nicaea, it's been a general understanding that one bishop shouldn't poach another bishop's churches, shouldn't go in there and start providing oversight in a region where another bishop rules. So just think of him like, you know, two kids sitting in the back seat, and one kid, you know, reaches over and touches the other kid, and the other kid says, "Don't touch me," and so you have the fight going on in the back seat. Ooh, what's that sound?
I'm gonna just close the. Our sound quality has gone up.
That's helpful.
I think that we're having our street dug up.
Oh.
Go on, keep talking.
Okay. So anyway. And it's a valuable rule in an ecclesial setting where things are normal. You don't want a bishop becoming acquisitive and trying to rack up more churches and make his diocese larger. And so you don't want border crossing to take place. However, when a church becomes apostate, when a bishop becomes apostate, when he denies the gospel, when he starts leading people to hell, when he, as the people who are promoting same-sex blessings are doing, then at least according to the Anglican formularies, that bishop is no longer part of the Church Catholic, because he's no longer someone who preaches the word of God, and so he's lost his apostolic authority. And so you can go in and rightly rescue as many churches or congregations that would like to depart from that bishop. So the canonical, there's no such thing as border crossing when a church is no longer a church. You're not border crossing then when you go and offer their ways out. However, of course, the Anglican Communion doesn't recognize yet that the Episcopal Church is an apostate church. It hasn't recognized that the Scottish Episcopal Church is now an apostate church. And the way things are headed, the English Church of England will probably be an apostate church at some point. So from their perspective, when this new European bishop from the ACNA is border crossing, taking congregations that belong to Scottish bishops and overseeing them with an ACNA bishop. But again, the brilliance of this is that since the ACNA is not part of the Anglican Communion, it can't really make that argument. I mean, if the Archbishop of Canterbury had accepted the ACNA as a member province, then maybe you could say, okay, well, ecclesiologically, you are here crossing, stepping on our toes. But no, I mean, we're not part of the...
So maybe he regrets.
We're not part of the communion. Yeah.
He regrets his decision not to invite us to things, right. Although I'm grateful that he...
I don't want to be part of the communion, but I mean, because the communion is headed south
quickly.
Well,
so the Archbishop of Canterbury also wrote a letter, didn't he, where he could have said, don't do that.
He did write a letter.
Instead, what did he say?
Well, he wrote a letter to the primates. It was a private letter, but it was leaked. Thanks be to God. and so we got to see it. And man, he quotes canons, you know, 13 or 14, I forget which numbers they are, from Nicaea. He talks about the long-standing tradition of respecting diocesan boundaries in the church from the very earliest ages, and then he goes and quotes from a Lambeth resolution about border crossing, and he is just, I mean, when it comes to the Bible, you know, things are kind of hazy. I don't understand. Maybe the Bible doesn't quite say it like we... You know, when it comes to the scriptural teachings about how you treat heretics or false teachers or how you deal with
really
violations
unclear.
Of the Bible, I can't understand what this thing is saying, but... Man, when it comes to canons of the church, and I say, oh, he is zealous.
Johnny
he is
on the spot
he
there.
Is he's a fundamentalist. He reads those canons literally, and if you violate those things, man, you are stepping outside the church. You are causing serious division here in the church. But hey, little gay marriage here, little gay marriage there. What's the big deal? The Bible says something about it, I think. But you know, we can all disagree and be friends. We can't disagree about this, though. No,
border crossing.
No, no, we can't have differences and yet remain together.
What about boyfriends?
Nope, because that is like the Trinity. Like, you have the Trinity, you have the dual natures of Christ, and then you have border crossing. The essential issues of the church.
That's awesome. That is nice. Yes, you're right. I mean, that's what we learned in 2006 or whatever.
Right, same thing happened when the Episcopal Church went apostate and people and the African bishops started taking congregations from them, and
suddenly language made sense again. You know, we have the deconstruction of language over
right, because the Episcopal Church had been,
but then suddenly,
what does the Bible say about sexuality?
We all understand what the words mean suddenly. Yeah.
So Paul says that those who do such things will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean, the kingdom of heaven?
Really, right? No, what is the kingdom of heaven? I don't really know.
How can we figure
is
this
that
out?
Like the kingdom of God.
Maybe he's talking about pederasty, or you know, maybe he's talking about, you know, pagan worship or something. Or is it, what's he talking about there?
I don't know. Language is hard.
Yeah.
Let's go shopping.
Can't quite figure this out. But the canons of the Nicene Council from 325, totally clear. I mean, we get that.
We get it.
Yeah.
It is.
No.
Crystal clear.
No ambiguity whatsoever.
Did he say anything to the Scottish Church? Like, why don't you not do that?
Because actually, there was David Old reported there was a meeting between the Primate of Scotland and Archbishop of Canterbury. And the Archbishop of Canterbury in that meeting said, oh, yes, well, if you take this move, you'll have to step down from one of your committee appointments. But that's it. That's...
Oh, because you know the committees.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not in that...
That has also been super important as this has unfolded the committee.
I mean, let no one say that we don't discipline those who defy the Bible. Because... If you lead people to hell, you're going to have to give up your committee spot. And no one wants to do that, because committees are the... I mean, can you imagine having to lose a committee spot?
They're the lifeblood of the communion.
Well, if you're not on a committee, I mean,
You know how that works, though? You're not on a committee for one turn.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, I mean, I don't even know. It's like magic. Suddenly you're back on the committee, because one way you can do that is just go to the meeting, and even though you're not invited, you just show up, and everybody's so embarrassed that they just give you a cup of tea, and they give you a bun, and you just sit down, and suddenly it's
and
fine
And then love
again.
Wins.
Love wins.
Love wins.
Every time. Love wins every time.
So, yeah, the issue, of course, is that the Bible is very clear, both about sexuality and about how you treat those who are promoting sin and heresy in the church. And how do you treat them? Well, you kick them out.
You give them a bun.
Or you call them to repent. And
you give them a bun
with
some butter and a little bit of cream and a cup of tea. Yeah. That is what it says in the Bible. Read the text. It says...
Tea.
With the Queen... and the Archbishop of Canterbury. That's what it says. When somebody denies the gospel and sends people into everlasting darkness, what you do is you give them
pour
a cup
them
of
tea
and a bun or cake. You can give them cake.
Would you like or cake? Or is it? Forgot that
death
comedian.
Or death or cake.
Cake.
And
okay.
Everybody says... Oh, I'll have cake.
Now we're making references to something that no one knows we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I don't think we should explain it
because
it's probably
it's another right. Although maybe you should watch it with Emma.
Already seen it.
What other R movies or
it's not
questionable
an R movie.
Content?
It wasn't even a movie.
It was a stand-up comedian. But what other questionable things can we expose our teenage daughter to?
I think there's a lot of things actually out there. I'm on the internet quite a lot, and there's just a ton out there that, she's going to see it sometime. Or not. She doesn't.
Yeah, well, that's you know, hey. If it's going to possibly be in the realm of her experience as an adult, we should definitely show it to her right now. That should be our rule of raising children. Whatever they might possibly be exposed to in the course of their adult life, we need to expose it to them early.
Yeah. I mean...
In their teenage years.
What I find so fascinating and wonderful is that you were not a Christian at the age of 14, 14, 15, yeah. And your life was, you knew about a great number of things.
I did.
And you became a Christian much later.
Yeah.
And you are such a prude now. You are so prudish. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, because, you know, when someone becomes a Christian, he sets himself apart. God sets him apart from the world. And, like, there's a difference. There's a distinction that takes place. So you no longer do the things you used to do. And you put some things away.
Yeah.
Right? So that might explain this odd behavior. I'm no longer doing some things that I used to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's good, of course. But
seem to be taking the cultural accommodation approach that let's baptize
The Office. I'm sorry. Watching The Office is not total cultural appropriation. It's maybe just a teeny little bit. It's making a little bit of poop into the teacup. Just a tiny bit.
You've made it now funny. You made our daughter laugh now at adultery, fornication,
actually,
gay, whatever.
I'm going to go ahead and say that she didn't think it was funny. So
maybe she was more prudish than you. Maybe she was exercising some good discernment and you were forcing her. No, you will watch this.
Yeah, that's what happened every day when she said, can we watch our show? Anyway, this has come full circle.
Yeah.
We're back to The Office.
Yeah.
And so that was on purpose. Plus all of the parenting tips that we just gave.
Yeah, right.
How to raise your children in a godly fashion. We're here for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's all. Do you have anything else you really wanted to say?
Carthage must be destroyed.
That's right. Carthage must be destroyed. Right. It must. I'm going to learn how to say that in Latin this week. That's my only goal for the week. Carthage must be destroyed. Thank you for listening, and we will be back next week.